forever, Congressman, Congressional CD6 seat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Okay, well, spent a little more time with that than I planned to, but it is the hot topic of the day. Very excited, though. Just read this, first saw the Westward article last week, and I'm told there'll be some other writings, some other pieces coming out about this. But Mike Kaufman, he of the forever congressman, congressional CD6 seat, who, you know, I've had breakfasts with this guy, I mean, one-on-one. I've spent time, called his office. He used to meet with members of my group, the Arapaho Tea Party, once a month at his office, just across the parking lot almost from the studio here. Was a conservative, would talk to Tea Partiers and Tea Party events, had the courage several years ago at the start of the Obama presidency to talk about how the fact that we really don't know who Barack Obama is, and then started backpedaling on that when it got out. And he has just been running further and further left ever since. And someone has said enough, one of his own constituents, a gentleman named Roger Edwards, a man I've never met before. We're going to all meet him together for the very first time. Roger, good morning.
Thank you.
You look, get up real close, lift that microphone right up to your face there, and then you're going to want to talk right into it.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
You know, if you get sick or cough or something, you can turn away. But yeah, you want to talk right into that thing. And so let's first, you heard the caller on Roger Moore. So before we get into your biography and start talking about primary Mike Kaufman, give me your take on Roy Moore.
Well, it's not so much a take on Roy Moore. It's the construct that we have set up that, in my mind, is going to be increasingly dangerous as it moves through the just the attitudes of Americans and things like that. You know, we all, whether you're a man or a woman, or no matter who you are, there are all people who don't tell the truth. I had happened to one time sit on a jury, and it was a date rape case. And the young man that came in was a really nice-looking guy, had a suit on, and he was absolutely terrified because if he had been convicted of rape, he was looking at 15 to 20 years. The lady who came in, you know, we heard all the testimony, and we looked at all the pictures, and he said it was consensual, she said it was not. The jury at that particular point was made primarily of women. It was a majority of women.
I'm sure the prosecution did everything they could to make that so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when we got back in the jury room and started our deliberations, the women went crazy. They said, this gal's story does not match up.
Good.
She is not telling the truth. So In my own evaluation of the case, I didn't think he was guilty either. So we returned a not guilty verdict on this date rape case, her word against his. And in today, what we're doing, we set up this construct that you must be believed. Well, I'm sorry, I'm going to be skeptical of these things. I'm especially going to be skeptical of something that comes from 30 years, 20 years, That is an old accusation. If you're in the workplace...
40 years in the case
years,
of Roy
yes.
Moore.
If you're in the commercial world, and whether you're a man or a woman, and the boss comes in and says, where's this report? How come you don't have this up? And starts being critical of your performance, all you've got to do is say, you know, the guy's harassing me.
Yep.
And now... the environment, the corporate environment, just the interactions of people, if we allow this to permeate through our system, is going to become so corrosive that you won't be able to talk to anybody about...
It's a really good point. And with Roger Moore... Of course, they come up with the...
Roy Moore.
Roy Moore, sorry, yeah.
It's 007.
Yeah, you're Roger. You're Roy Moore. I heard somebody else do that on the radio. I forget what show it was, so at least I'm not alone. But the timing is just unbelievable. And, of course, they come up with part of my legal practice, we've got several lawyers and we do a variety of things, but our criminal defense portion, when you get somebody who is accused of a sex crime, then there's already a presumption of guilt rather than the presumption of innocence. You know if you take that to trial, which is why people take plea bargains all the time for things they didn't do with a sex crime, because it's literally a life sentence. Even if you get out of jail within a decade or so, you're tagged forever. But then you add in a child allegation, which is what they did with Roy Moore, 14-year-old, you know, inappropriate touching from a 32-year-old man. It's the ick factor. Mm-hmm. You get that heavy-duty ick factor. Immediately people cringe, and you're guilty until proven innocent. But I was suspect right out of the gate just because of the source, Washington Post, just because of the coincidental nature of these four victims all of a sudden, you know, being found right just coincidentally, I'm sure, a month before an election, for a man who has been in public service, been thrown out of office, then reelected by the people for standing mm-hmm. up on his principles. Just the every bit of the timing and knowing how these Alinskyites in control of the Democrat Party operate now. And then the attack by Mitch McConnell and the establishment Republicans seemed so well coordinated, so quick, so ready to pounce. I've read speculation that Mitch McConnell is part of the machine behind this effort to take out Roy Moore. It'd be interesting to hear from Jenny Beth Martin later, because she's got her nose on the ground in these important elections, mm-hmm. and see what she thinks about the survival of Roy Moore. So it sounds like you're with me that with a allegation that's this old, as icky as it is, and the suspect timing, and now Gloria Allred with the yearbook that's already falling apart, signatures that don't match, dates and initials that don't make sense. Man's an assistant DA. They always sign ADA if they use their initials, although I don't know any prosecutors that do that. Not DA. Just all those things. Won't turn it over for analysis. Won't say whether there's a polygraph out there on her client. I just think all this stuff can be used very significantly to help support Roy Moore. And because I'm such a skeptic, and because I think the consequences of allowing that seat, a reliably Republican seat, to turn over to a Democrat, you can't just put that aside. Well, not on this moral issue. It's too important. You cannot put that aside. The consequences of giving that seat away would be very, very great. When you factor all those things together, and the simple lack of all the other girls, even, and he was dating young girls. There's no question about that. But the other three said, mom's permission, we'd kiss and hug. If it went too far, I'd say stop. He'd stop. He was a gentleman. So I am not willing to throw a Roy Moore under the bus. It sounds like you feel the same way.
Well, you know, when I was in the corporate world prior to moving to Colorado, we had sexual harassment training from our legal staff. Any manager participated in those classes, and just the regular workers participated in the classes. So in today's world, if you're a corporate entity and you don't have some kind of sexual harassment training, you've got a real problem, because that's where your legal liability is going to come from an accusation that, how do you prove? Unless you have three people in a meeting every time you meet.
He said, she said. I get those cases in my office mm-hmm. all the time. And people think, well, without some objective proof, no. People get convicted. They get fired. Their reputations are dashed by a mere allegation. And you're right. We've got to be very, very cautious about that. And you can't let a man who's been vetted for 30 or 40 years, married, kids, grandkids, not a whisper, a lot of political mm-hmm. Attacks on him for people who disagree with him, but not a whisper of impropriety in his background. You simply cannot allow these kinds of allegations to wipe all that away. It would just be unfair. Mm-hmm. So before we get to our first break, we're speaking with Roger Edwards. He has thrown his hat in the ring. He is the primary challenger, the announced primary challenger, only one so far, running against Mike Kaufman in CD6. You mentioned the corporate world. Why don't you take just a couple of minutes and give people however much of your biography you think they should know as they start to assess you as a potential candidate and especially a potential congressman?
Well, they say that over your lifetime you have six careers, and I have probably had six careers. I have worked I'll just start at the beginning. After I graduated from high school, the Vietnam War was going on, and you either if you went to college, you got a deferment. So I didn't want to go to Vietnam, so I went to college. My second semester, I had 9 hours of F, 3 hours of D, 3 hours of C, and the college sent me this nasty letter saying, don't ever come back, you're an idiot, we never want to see you again. So off to Vietnam I went. I enlisted. And after that was a life-changing proposition. I came back, repeated all the D's and F's, and was on the Dean's Honor Roll, and I graduated with a degree in accounting. I worked in public accounting for a while. I worked in private accounting for a while, and I moved to the private sector, where I was essentially the business manager for a commercial organization.
So you're a numbers guy.
Yes.
And the training that you got in the military, it sounds like created a level of discipline and maybe even some self-respect and a desire to achieve and be successful that you didn't have before you went into the military.
Well, it taught me, and I had this within me just from my family history. My dad was in the Navy. My uncle was at Pearl Harbor. So I come from a family that served, and it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes within a person, you know that there's something greater than yourself. And that's, you know, I wasn't particularly excited about going to Vietnam, but I knew there was no way that I was going to do anything to chicken out on that assignment.
Did you fight? Were you in combat?
I was a what you might call a forward air observer. We flew a prototype airplane that was designed by Lockheed. It was essentially the first stealth aircraft. It was a powered glider, and we flew it about 1,500 feet and 80 knots. It was had all this sound deadening technology on it. So we could fly above you, and you couldn't hear us. If you knew what to listen for, you could hear it. But
was
the enemy
couldn't simply hear us. For reconnaissance, or did you ever drop anything on people, or how did that go?
Yeah, we dropped a lot of things.
Like you have a hand grenade to throw over or something.
Well, we were equipped with technology of a night vision scope. And what we would do is we would locate targets, and then we would work with artillery and helicopter gunships and naval bombardment.
Wow.
And we would call in those strikes and on the targets that we found, and we'd kill the enemy.
Were you able to fly high enough to be out of range, or were you subject to being fired on?
Oh, if yeah, 1,500 feet. I mean, you know,
wow.
Any...
you said that, 1,500 feet. Yeah, I'm a private pilot, so that's not high at all.
That's a landing pattern.
Yeah. So all you had, the technology you had to be a stealth player was that you were quiet, you were a glider.
Yes.
Go out and glide back. Wow. Well, that's how long did you serve?
I was in Vietnam for about 11 months.
Okay.
And
the war end? Or?
Well, at that time, President Nixon was trying to cut the armed forces, so we got a month early out.
People, I don't want to drag. We need to take a break, and you're going to stay with us, so we'll get to know a lot more about you. We're talking with Roger Edwards, who's running against Mike Kaufman. He's going to give him a primary run for his money. Really looking forward to seeing how that works out. But people have, so many people, if they haven't taken some time to read, have a complete misunderstanding about the Vietnam War. And, you know, think America hasn't won a war since Vietnam, actually since Korea. That war is still technically ongoing. But we were on the verge of winning the war in Vietnam when we bailed, and millions of people died as a result of us pulling out there. So,
and that's a reason. Yeah, that's one of the reasons that has motivated me to do this, and we can talk about it a little bit.
Sounds good. Let's do that. It's 6:21. We'll take calls as well if you'd like. 303-696-1971. Your chance to get to know the brand new, freshly minted, recently announced primary candidate for Mike Kaufman in Congressional District 6, right here in our own backyard. He stays with us. I hope you will, too. I'm Randy Corcoran, filling in for Peter Boyles. You're listening to 710 KNUS. But right now, so pleased to be joined by Roger Edwards, who is taking away from his personal time, is simply fed up, it sounds like to me, with Republicans who start out as conservatives and then start running as fast as they can toward the middle, which always means to the left. And they never stop at the middle either. They just keep right on running. Mike Kaufman has done the same in my mind. Used to meet with the Rappo Tea Party once a month. Used to go talk to groups like ours. And used to actually feel like a conservative. And so anyway, we're talking with Roger. Roger, before we get in, you wanted to make a comment about the Vietnam War and all the people who died when we pulled out and all that. But I do want people to know how they can reach you, because you're just getting started. I assume you're going to need some help, some connections, maybe a few dollars along the way and all that. What is the best way right now at the infancy of your primary challenge to Congressman Mike Kaufman for people to reach you?
One of the primary ways is to go to my website, which is edwardscommittee.com, www.edwardscommittee.com.
And just so you know, you and I are both kind of at that non-technical age these days. You don't need to say the www. It's automatic now. People just put in edwardscommittee.com. It's all they got to do.
And I've been working on this website for a couple of months, trying to populate it with content so that when you go there, you can see some of the things that I have written, and you can either like it or you can not like it.
So before we talk about, you know, wise idea to take on Kaufman, he'll always say my district has changed. And it's no question, it was redrawn specifically to try and take down Mike Kaufman. And he has shown the ability, and he's a hardworking campaigner, no question about it. He's shown the ability to hold on to a purpling, maybe blue, ever bluer district. I want to talk about that. But when we went to break, your Vietnam vet, courageous flying gliders over enemy territory. And I just made the comment that people really misunderstand the Vietnam War. When we pulled out of there on the verge of victory, many, 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 many people died as a result.
You know, recently, Ken Burns put out a documentary on Vietnam. I think it was a 10-part series. And I think it should be required viewing for any person in high school and above. You know, as a participant in that effort, you know, there were some things that I knew about Vietnam when I was there. You just sense that what's right, what's not right. So there were things that I knew about what was going on. But in the Ken Burns series, he brought out a lot more information that I didn't know. And the fact that Kennedy and Johnson and Nixon, all of these people, their administrations, they knew this war was unwinnable, but yet they continued to sacrifice men and civilians into the meat grinder that was Vietnam. Thousands, 58,000 individuals, military people on our side lost their lives. Hundreds of thousands more were wounded mentally and physically. I think he quotes like over a million Vietnamese were killed. Because I'm outraged that the corruption of what these people knew, that at some point they didn't say, hey, you know, okay, enough. Let's go a different way. And that's kind of what I feel where Washington is right now. That same type of corruption is in Washington, and they're doing things that don't seem right. You know, the war in Afghanistan. I don't endorse that. I don't believe in it. If you've got a tribal culture over there who has been tribal for 2,000 years.
Peter Boyles always says the Afghanistan is the country where empires go to die.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're not going to change in a tribal culture. Let's get out of there and let them do whatever they want to do. And if they start causing a problem, we'll get them all congregated and then go kill them all.
So President Donald Trump has sent us back to Afghanistan. Did you vote for Donald Trump?
I voted for Donald Trump, and you know, I know what the president has done. In this particular case, willing to give him a little bit of a leeway because of the professionals that he has put in charge of the military and the Pentagon. In Vietnam, you know, LBJ was picking targets from the Oval Office. Nixon was telling us, you know, what bombs they could and where they couldn't. If you're going to get in the war, you need to kill the enemy and you need to kill him with great passion.
Yeah, and that's one thing that Donald Trump has made very clear. I mean, one of his first examples was to drop that mother of all bombs, yeah. Make that big hole. Is that we're not going to do politically correct wars again, and you can't allow terrorists to stage to pick a country and pick an area and stage. You have to go in there and clean that up. So
I don't know. Let them stage, let them accumulate, and then you kill them all at once.
All at once, yeah.
It's kind of like it's an infestation.
Yeah. By the way, if you're just waking up and you haven't poked your head outside, the sunrise is spectacular. We've got the sunrise view here from the beautiful 710 KNUS Towers at 225 and Parker. It is a gorgeous morning. Make sure you take a quick look before it goes away. So we're talking with Roger Edwards, and he's running. He's taking on Mike Kaufman. He's going to run a primary campaign as a Republican. I went ahead and pulled up your website. Looks good already. Did you do that yourself? Been working on that, you said?
I have a friend who is in the computer website business, and we've collaborated on it and developed it.
The website is edwardscommittee.com, and Roger was telling me off the air that, you know, he's just at the infancy of this thing, and so he needs to start connecting with people who can help with social media, help with, you know, reaching out to the different leaders of the different sub-communities within CD6 so you can get in front of these people and get to know them. So go to edwardscommittee.com and reach out. I think that's a really good idea. And that's a really important issue. I read the article that Westward did on your candidacy. It's one of the things that you talked about. And Mike Kaufman has really, and Republicans buy into it. It's so common in American politics now that we're dividing up subgroups and subcultures. And, well, we can't pass a tax cut for people who produce, who create jobs, who create products, because we're hurting some other group over here, never looking at the overall picture. And from what I read of your answers in that, and I'll let you elaborate on this, you're starting from the perspective that whether you're a Muslim or black, red, white, whatever your background, history, or ethnicity, you're an American. We're not going to do hyphenated Americans.
That's totally correct. Okay. I mean, my friend that's helped me with the website, he's also been involved in political campaigns, and he's more of a traditional type, has a traditional type of view on campaigns. And I was, of course, I look at Jason Crow's webpage, and Jason had mentioned that he had got an endorsement from the Pipefitters Union 208. And I thought, you know, I'm going to call the Pipefitters. Now that we've got a challenge between Kaufman, you know, maybe perhaps the Pipefitters might be interested in endorsing one of the two of us on the Republican side. So I had a meeting with the Pipefitters Union, and later on I was telling my friend, I said, I met with the Pipefitters Union. He was horrified. He says, why are you meeting with them? Mike Kaufman is going to use that. He's going to target you as a big union-friendly guy, and it's just going to cause you a lot of problems. And I said, listen, you know, those pipefitters are professional people. I would guess maybe the union themselves will probably always endorse a Democrat. But I can't help but think that there's a lot of Trump voters out there in the Pipefitters
sure.
Union. And I'm not gonna disqualify any group that say, I'm not gonna talk to you because I know you're just a Democrat.
Sure. Well, that's how Donald Trump got elected. I mean, the Democrat Party is no longer the Democrat Party. JFK could not possibly be a Democrat right now. Just couldn't happen. The people who are in control of the Democrat Party are extreme left radicals, Alinskyites, Marxists. A socialist almost became, and a self-avowed socialist who honeymooned in Russia almost became the Democrat nominee. And Hillary Clinton, part of the way she took him out was to run more toward the left during the primary campaign. So those people have to be starving for someone who will talk about jobs, about patriotism, about getting government out of the way so people can have a fair shake. Ronald Reagan won 49 states in his reelection bid, and that was because of Blue Dog Democrats. And you and I are getting older. We ain't all dead yet.
Right.
Right. So, all right. So the website is edwardscommittee.com. I love the kind of the taglines you've got and the different links here. Freedom, liberty, individual, flag, private property, God, military, life. Those are all pretty important. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, let's talk about your signature issue or your two or three issues that you think are going to really help distinguish you from Mike Kaufman as you go forward in this primary process. I will tell you that speeches at caucus make a real difference.
They do.
Because 2 years ago, a young man, a courageous young man with a pretty stiff speech impediment, mm-hmm. stood up and gave a wonderful speech and fought his way through it. Mel Tillis, you know, he was a stutterer his whole life, very serious. He fought his way through a very impassioned speech, came within 2 points of getting on the primary ballot against Mike Kaufman.
That's right.
At the top of the hour. So about 8 minutes left with our guest, Roger Edwards. He is primarying Mike Kaufman. Top of the hour, Regis Giles, the sister of Hannah, the beautiful young woman who was involved in the takedown, the expose on Acorn. I said Planned Parenthood before, but as usual, listeners don't let you get away with anything around here. Thanks for that, Al. Appreciate the text. And we'll talk to her at the top of the hour about sexual harassment and how that fits into her website, Girls Just Want to Have Guns. But back to Roger. Time is short. Roger, your website is edwardscommittee.com. A young man who I had never heard of until caucus came within 2 points of getting on the primary ballot against Mike Kaufman at the caucus. So there's no way to, no one can say that this can't be done. It certainly can. What are the couple of issues that you think will most distinguish you from Congressman Kaufman and maybe help get you get some mileage?
You know, I think the primary issue or the primary thing that I deal with and cause some of my frustration with Mike is that, you know, I'm looking for a congressman who's going to do what they say they're going to do. And if you...
Yeah, going to repeal Obamacare maybe.
Right.
Every Republican in these majorities ran on the premise of repealing Obamacare. And Kaufman was one of the no votes, was he not?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right. And also, you know, you have to establish some priorities, and I don't quite agree with some of the priorities that Mike had. You know, and I don't agree with some of the priorities the Republican Party has. In the recent tax bill that was coming out of the Senate, they had provision to eliminate the adoption credit. Now, I go to church with a foster family, and we've spoken, and he said, that's huge for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've got 5 foster children,
yeah.
And losing this tax credit is a significant issue.
Yeah.
And I thought, why would our team want to do that?
Well, and taking away people's tax credits for their home mortgages, taking away their ability to write off the money that they have to pay to their state taxes on their federal tax return. Congress acts like it's their money. And then they buy into this leftist argument that you have to pay for tax cuts, as though that money just somehow goes into thin air, gets hidden under a mattress, rather than getting put back into a new car or a college education or a new roof on your house, which creates all kinds of economic activity.
Well, you know, there's taxes are one thing, but I view this particular thing as the adoption credit as a greater good. You know, not only are you you're helping children who need that help. You're helping another human being. You know, if I lose my mortgage deduction, I'm just helping me. But if it's just hurting me. But
I don't agree with that. I want you to rethink that, because if you have extra money, even if you just stick it into your retirement account or your savings account, the bank uses that money to loan it out to other people
exactly.
to buy their house or their car or their college education for their kid. So don't ever apologize for wanting to keep more of your own money.
I don't, but I think in this particular issue that the greater good of providing a home, stable home life for foster kids is hard to get around.
How can Republicans be behind taking away the ability to support more families, giving homes to more kids?
Exactly.
It's so stupid.
Exactly. And then on the opposite side, there was an amendment to the Defense Reauthorization Bill. Amendment number 10 is actually offered by a congressperson from my former state of Missouri. And essentially what the amendment said was it would prohibit the government from providing money for military people to transition in gender reassignment. So the military is, there's folks out there who have started in the gender reassignment program, and the military is providing all of the necessary care for that. I don't think that's a viable a government responsibility.
We do not make social policy or apply taxpayer dollars to 0.3% of the American population. I have nothing but sympathy for people involved in some kind of fight with their own genitalia, whether it's psychological or whatever it is. But the idea that this is something that not only the taxpayers should be doing, but that the military should be making policies, extra bathrooms, making soldiers uncomfortable because they may not know who is in the stall next to them or whatever, or who's getting turned. You know, the reason you have same gender bathrooms and showers is because for the vast majority of people, there's no sexual stimulation in there. It's just pure common sense. So I'm glad it sounds like you're going to talk some common sense.
Well, in this particular regard, that amendment was defeated. 209 Republicans voted for it. 24 Republicans voted against it, which defeated the amendment. And one of those Republicans was Mike Kaufman.
Very, very interesting.
Now, I'm all into freedom of association. You can do anything, you can be anything, and I'm all for that. But the promotion and subsidizing military people to use their position as a way to get this specific medical treatment, I don't think is appropriate use of government money.
We've got less than a minute. Your website is edwardscommittee.com, edwardscommittee.com. Roger Edwards running a primary campaign against Mike Kaufman. I'm sure we'll have you back many times on my Saturday morning show, Wake Up with Randy Corcoran. Definitely want to hear more about what you're up to. What do you want to leave the audience with in these last 30 or 40 seconds?
Well, I'm looking to get out there and talk to people. I'm not going to talk at you. I want to talk with you. And if we can have a sensible conversation and you can convince me that your particular view, even though it might be different than mine, I'm certainly open to listen to that. I want to include everybody.
You said you'd come talk to the Arapaho Tea Party, maybe even next month?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'll talk to...
Now, Mike Kaufman hasn't been willing to talk to us in years, and we used to get to meet with him once a month.
Uh-huh. So I'll talk to anybody.
All right. Roger Edwards, edwardscommittee.com, a primary challenger for Mike Kaufman. Thanks for coming into the studio this morning.
Thank you.
Really
Randy,
do appreciate it.